Amen. Boy, ain't it good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Yes, sir. Cold. Get tired of being holed up. Debbie gets tired of looking at me. But it's so good to be back in the house of the Lord. From the minute that we got here this morning till the pews started filling, I was just feeling a blessing overcome me that I hadn't experienced in a while. This is how important church is. It's important to one another, together, to lift, to support, to encourage. Well, you, believe it or not, I need your encouragement. And I know you need each other's encouragement. And we need the encouragement of the Word of God. We need the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. We need the encouragement of gathering together to praise and worship Him. Okay? And I'm going to be coming out of Psalm 33. I'm going to read one verse to begin with. Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. And as I was preparing this message, as we get into it, we are recognized, the group that gathers here that are born-again Christians, we are recognized as the local body of Christ. And it is of great value to the kingdom of God in His eyes, and for our responsibilities to share the gospel, to proclaim that God is Creator and Jesus is the Savior, and the Holy Spirit resides within all those that are born again that have received. Correct? So, in doing that, I come to realize, you know, looking at our nation, being the United States, I broke that down to consider we are the local body of our nation, the local body of our country, the local body. So it is of great value that we not sit on our hands, that we do our part in support of our country and our leaders, whether it be through prayer or volunteer work or as our Miss Magistrate here, the duty that she has is in support of our country. So each and every one of us, we got to remember that. I was guilty of that wasn't my responsibility. But yes, I've learned that it is. It's each and every one of our responsibility. So keep that in mind as we go through this sermon text here this morning. If y'all would stand, we'll read Psalm 33, verse 12. I'm going to have to learn to breathe a little more between some of them words. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. I'm going to read that again and we'll let it soak in. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You, we praise You, we worship You, we call out in Jesus' name right here, right now, as we gather here before You with Your Word open before our faces, Lord God. I pray that our hearts are open to receive the message that You have for us through Your spoken, written Word, and convey it to us through the Holy Spirit that indwells those that are born again and stirs the hearts of the lost when You call them. We praise You, we thank You, we pray for our pastor and Tink as they're traveling this day. Give them travel mercies as only You can. Pray for those in their homes, in their cars, wherever they may be right now. We ask for a blessing upon each and every one. And these favors we ask in Christ's name, and amen. Amen. Thank you all. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So, it's established in the Old Testament, referring to the nation of Israel and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Now, when I was brought to that scripture, I was motivated mainly by blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I think in the establishment of our country, that was a key role in the success. But when I got to the next part, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance, I don't want anybody to be confused by that, because everybody is chosen. And we're going to get a lot of scriptures here to support that, to keep, Calvinism or whatever that one is. That I had a guy ask me, say, do you think God knows everybody's going to get saved? Well, sure I do. Well, then why do we have to witness to people? That's a part of God we don't understand. Because it is our command to share the gospel with others. It is an opportunity that is laid out there for everybody. But as we get into that, we're going to drop back to the inauguration of the nation of Israel. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And again, chosen in the Hebrew was selected. And it went into great detail that shot way over my head in a lot of things. But the key word I saw was selected. So, let's read. We're going to read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And you'll want to keep Psalm 33 because we'll be closing out in that text. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thee name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." That is the beginning of the covenant, or of the nation, the covenant of God with the nation of Israel. Okay, that's established right there. He made that right there. But let's go on just for confirmation. Chapter 13, verses 14 through 17, I believe, 16, says, "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land that thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed be numbered." Now think on that for just a bit. He gave him all the land that he could see, as far as he could see in all directions. But he ended that text with, "And I will make thy seed," that's his descendants, "as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered." So we know that is a number that is incomprehensible by a human mind. Our thought process cannot go there. Just like it talks about the stars in the heavens and the sand in the seas. It can't be numbered. That is the magnitude of God. That is how great God is. That is how above our way of thinking that God is. And what He's established right there is His chosen people. Everybody up to speed with this? Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 8. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to the nation of Israel. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto who? Himself. Above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Verse 7. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. There again, they didn't do anything, so to speak, in a physical sense, that they were the strongest nation on earth, that they was the most had the most citizens in their nation, or owned the most land, or had the most money, or anything. They did nothing to earn what God called them for, other than their dedication to Him, to their servitude to Him. And, you know, it's a whole other lesson we can go to on Abram, and when he became Abraham, that he was justified by his faith. And he's the leader of all the nations. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Because He loved him. And refers to the promise that he had, that God had made with Abraham. Now think on that. For just a bit. Descendants of Abraham. Now, we see in the news today, going back to where God told Abram at the time to look north, east, west, and south, and that is all that land. Now, I seen a map the other day, somebody highlighted like a picture version of the world, and it showed all the vastness of the countries, and yet it showed that wee little speck kind of right in the middle that is Israel. And in today's borders is smaller than what God actually gave them, but my point being that one little bitty spot on the earth is the home of God's chosen people. So if you pay any attention at all to world news or whatever, you know that 95% of the time, that is the focal point. And we can look around our own country right now and we see, you know, we're not focused on, look at all that's in the news of the anti-Semitism that's in our country. It's around the world, but we are part of this nation. And I had a guy tell me one time, and I talked to him about the Lord, and he really didn't have any interest in it. He said, I just like what I'm doing. The worldly stuff. But he said, but man, there's got to be something to it.
you think about it, if the world would just watch Israel, they could see that there is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there is a connection with that little speck of a country over in what would that be, Asia, on the Asian, biggest part of the Asian continent. Just a wee little spot. And the reason I wanted to go that, we all can know that Israel, the Jews, are God's chosen people. Correct? And so why are they, everybody so against them? Well, we know it's a holy war. Ishmael and Isaac, we could go down that path. There are so many things that created God and Lucifer, and it goes right on down. It's a holy war. And it's going on in our country today, but I don't want to go too much farther into that. I want to go, let's get us up to the New Testament. Well, Jerry, you're talking about all those in the Old Testament. They are His chosen people. They are Jews. They are by birth the descendants of, direct descendants of Abraham. Let's go into Ephesians. Yeah, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 through 7. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7 said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as He hath chosen us in Him from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will." Didn't we hear Him say that to Abraham? "To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence." And the word prudence means understanding. But in catching up to right there, when Jesus came, God sent Jesus, sent His Son. God took on flesh and came to this earth to be the perfect sacrifice that replaced all the animal blood sacrifice that was required through the Old Testament by the Jewish nation for the covering of sin. It didn't cleanse the sin. It didn't take the sin away. It just put a cover over it for a time. They had to do that once a year. They had to go into the Holy of Holies. They had to do everything perfectly. If they did not, they would die on the spot. But God made a way. God made a way and sent His Son to die on the cross that we could have that perfect sacrifice. He gave us the opportunity to be a member of the chosen. He calls out with His word, the gospel of Jesus Christ. "There is none can come unto the Father except by Him, through Jesus Christ." If you have been born again, you have confessed that you are a sinner. You have confessed that Jesus is Lord, and you have received the finished work on the cross for salvation. You are a member of the chosen. We are adopted in to the family of God. We are part of a chosen generation. First Peter chapter 2. You know, I'll be done pretty soon. First Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Listen closely. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of his marvelous into his marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which have not obtained mercy, but now have attained mercy. Who is Peter talking to right there, right now? He's talking to the Gentiles. And that's the category that we all fall in, who are lost and undone without hope. We are not part of the chosen until we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. We are adopted into God's family. We are heirs with Christ Himself. Isn't that humbling? Doesn't that just break you down? Just makes your heart just flow with praise for Him, for thankfulness to Him, to worship Him, because without Him, we are lost and undone. We have nothing. We have no hope. And we see the hopelessness in our world today for those who have rejected the opportunity to be a Christian. Because the opportunity is there. The opportunity has been told. The opportunity has been spread. It is the opportunity of salvation. I'm going to read 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God's will is that not one soul be lost. But we know that some's going to be lost. Some's already been lost. There's going to be more to be lost. Why? Because they rejected the calling of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God made a way. God said, "Here it is, lost and wandering person. Here it is. Here's the way. It's the only way. You got to come this way. And if you heed the call, you become one of the chosen. You become a child of the King. You become an heir, just as Jesus is." Ain't you thankful that that was laid out before you one day? Ain't you thankful that Holy Spirit stirred in the depths of your heart, went to places where nobody outside of you and God can visit? The things that happen in that deepest part of the heart. Remember, as you're growing up, you know, as a kid, people talk about the heart. You go to church and hear things of the heart, and you still think of that organ that's pumping in there, and it takes a while to comprehend your core, the depth, your soul, your spirit, whatever it's called in there that only you know a little bit about, but God knows everything about. And God sent His Son that we can fix that. The older I get, the more life experience I have, the more depth I see that my sin was so deep.
so much more than I thought when I first got saved. I see it more clear. Something that I thought was fine. And now to know that, oh my, God forgive me. That's repentance. That's what it takes to join the chosen, to be in the kingdom of God, to be an heir with Christ. Again, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I've said this many times, but I remember it echoes through my head. A song Tony Maddox would sing that would say, "He relentlessly pursued." Aren't you thankful that He did that? I know I'm one that run and tried to hide and everything else. And yet, He kept coming. I'm thankful today for that. What about you? Are you thankful today that He pursued you, that you gave your life to Him, that you had hope in Him? So back to the part of the nations. Let's go back to Psalm 33. And I'm going to read the first 12 verses. And bear with me for what it says. But this is guidance for us, that we have been born again. We have the only thing that's worthy of praise if you are a Christian. He says in verse 1, chapter 33, verse 1, "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with the psaltery in an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Play skillfully with loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of goodness of the Lord." We could preach on them first parts for hours, thinking about the goodness of God, what He has done for each and every one of us, what He's going to do for each and every one of us, for the promises that He has given each and every one of us, for the opportunities that He sets before us, each and every one of us. Verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Where have you heard that at? Genesis chapter 1. "And all of the host of them by the breath of His mouth." He breathed the breath of life. "He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." And I'm seeing the church slacking on standing in awe of Him. The church as a whole. In our nation as a whole. "For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of His heart to all generations." Now listen to here's where we started. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom He hath chosen for His own inheritance." Point being, I hope you got the gist of the message this morning. The point being, we're part of that generation. We're part of that nation.
We got to lift God up. We got to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We got to do it boldly, but not arrogantly. We got to be steadfast. I remember in some of the last Wednesday night Bible studies, we've been talking about Paul talking to the people at Ephesus and Philippi, and we're in Colossae right now, and he emphasizes to be steadfast in the faith. And what is it? The faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't be bumped one side or the other by colorful words or distressing situations. Stay firm in your stand for the Lord. What do you think about that? Belinda, you want to get us a song? And if the Lord has spoke to your heart here this morning, I pray that you step out. If God is dealing with you right now, and you are not one of the chosen, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. The Bible says that if you confess Jesus Christ and His Lord in your heart and with your mouth, I'll read that. Romans 10. Yeah. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made. That is the humbling part. That is the sincere part. It can't be an outward thing. It's got to begin inside your heart. When God is tickling you, we need to respond. For the scripture saith, whoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. There again, there's where we become the chosen, because we are the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord this morning. If you're not saved this morning, I ask you right now, in your pew, wherever you may be, confess Jesus and call out right now. Let's all stand and sing.